So welcome to another What's Current podcast from Napier, and this is another podcast we've done before with Aaron from Doncaster Cables, but we're back for a bit of an update. So there's some exciting things going on here. We've just had an amazing factory tour with some of the team, so just absolutely mind blown about how cables made and produced and manufactured, just mad stuff. So yeah, had a really good morning so far. But Aaron, we're just going to talk a little bit more about what we've looked at today, really, and a little bit about the products you've got. The new one that's in front of us here, which is
Earthshore.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what it's about, the brainchild of it. What, you know, why did we decide we needed Earthshore?
We've actually been asked a few times in the past, can we do a twin and earth with a green yellow CPC? So that is what Earthshore is in its main premise. It is twin and earth with the CPC pre-identified green yellow. We've been asked a few times in the past, and we never really got the traction with it because twin and earth is such a heavily commoditized product, and there's not a lot of profit margin in the product. It's generally sold at a loss. There's never really been any appetite in the industry to change it, and it's a very regulated industry. The standards have been there for many years. The clips, etc., are all built around the original standard. So if you add an insulative layer in there, the cable should get bigger, and then it wouldn't fit in clips, so it would change the clips. So there was quite a lot of hurdles to overcome. Third-party approval is a big one. Once we deviate away from a normal standard, third-party approval becomes challenging. So lots of challenges to overcome. And because of the products previously, there wasn't much of an appetite from any business to try and take that on. And then we decided to take that on and try and bring all the value to the installers.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier, and we've talked before about this. It, like, when it's actually out there and launched, it almost feels like a no-brainer. But like you've articulated, you don't realise what goes on behind the scenes. First of all, to like to say, is this something we need to do? People might want it, but like you say, the hurdles you have to go through are quite extreme. So I know it's not great for listeners, but for our viewers out there, so, you know, your traditional kind of cable, which you would have with, you know, that looks like that with uninsulated, would be your standard, you know, where you're going to put your bit of sleeving on. You know, that, and we all like our sleeving. I know you did a great video on how much electricians like a bit of sleeving tied to their trousers or hanging out their mouth. But now what we've got, obviously, like you've just said, with this Earthshore, is we've got all of our three cores have now got this insulation on, including the CPC conductor. And I notice on the CPC, it's significantly smaller. Could you just explain the reason for that?
Yeah, so the CPC is the same size conductor as a normal twin and earth, but the actual covering on there is a lot thinner than a standard one. So when we looked at the products, we needed it to fit inside the normal clips because the industry doesn't want to change what clips it's used. So we had to keep that CPC covering quite small. Even then it became a challenge, so we then had to actually adapt the sheath thicknesses and the properties of the sheathing to shrink it down, so it then fit inside of a clip. To then get third-party approval on that, we worked with BASEC, and we enhanced the properties throughout the cable in different polymers and different materials. So it's meeting all of the same requirements as the normal twin and earth does, even though it has now been shrunk down in different areas. So we then managed to get a CPC with a green-yellow covering, that fit in the normal accessories, normal clips, and we've got the BASEC approval on the product through a BASEC CAD as well. So we're ticking all three boxes.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that, because like I say, you see all the hurdles, because you wouldn't even think if we'd gone for it and it was the same size of, and a bigger outer sheath, that, like you say, and then we've got a clip problem because all the clips are going to change. So actually, you've had to think out the box a little bit and just think, actually, if we're going to make this fit to the norm and not create another problem, then that's the solution why that's a bit smaller. And obviously it's new, it's out there in the market. Is this a Doncaster Cable thing? There's nothing out there like this at the moment. It's patented and it's yours.
It's a new innovation. It's our product. It's patent pending at the moment.
Okay.
So we believe there's some IP there that is patentable, so that's with the IPO office at the moment. And we wanted to make it as accessible as we could for everybody, so we tried to tick off all the bits about the approval and the product and usability. We are trying to put this out into the marketplace at the same price as our normal twin and earth, so there's not a big cost differential in the product, because we just feel it adds so much value to electricians and the end user. Celebrating 40 years this year, this has actually taken us about a year to bring it into fruition. But it's been a nice way to give it back to the industry during that 40th year and change something that hasn't been changed for 60 years.
60 years, yeah. And like you say, from my time on the tools, and we spoke before, you know, if I've gone from that kind of model where I'm, you know, I am stripping that, I'm putting that on, you know, but that's just, it's done for you. And we were stripping this earlier when we first got here and having a play with the tools, and it's just so easy to strip. The thing that strikes me about it is that actually, you know, even the old traditional way of a pair of side cutters cutting down and stripping it that way rather than some fancy strippers, it's just so simple. And that's a lot to do with when we look around the factory about the compound in there as well. Just the way it's constructed, it feels like a solid, good bit of kit, doesn't it? And that marks you a little bit differently from perhaps some of your competitors, doesn't it? I know not in this particular cable, but your cables in general.
Yeah, that's been the whole premise of our business. So it's quality first, yeah, and adding value for the end user. So every single process that we do, we make decisions to add value, whether that's how much we anneal the copper so it bends easier and is easier to terminate, to the compounds that we use on a variety of products, to traceability and everything else in between, the quality of the reels, and we've got thicker reels that are generally in the marketplace and better press seams, so we're just trying to go for that quality product but also add in value, and that's what's so important to us, to add value to the end user.
Yeah, and I know it's early days, but have you managed to capture any feedback yet of the end user? Because obviously you use a wholesaler to get this product out into the ether, but have you had anything come back where people are loving it?
Yeah, the response so far has been phenomenal. We've had so much interest. Some people talking about it, how we've done that because it doesn't comply to the British standard, which it doesn't, because it's innovative, and that's why we've got the basic approval, etc., to make it easier. So it's just opened up a whole lot of conversation, and lots of people saying, why wasn't it done earlier? That seems to be the main thing.
Yeah.
Why has it took this long? And that's one of the funny... So all my family's in construction, and I was actually installing my own kitchen. I took a week off of work to fit a kitchen because that's like my downtime. And I was working with an electrician. We were putting in some downlights and sockets. And there must have been about four downlights. So I'm not an electrician, but about four downlights where the sleeving actually dropped off the end of it.
Oh, been there. And you're hanging up like this, yeah.
And we're doing this now. We're like, these people have asked for this before, and I'm starting to realise why it would add so much value. So I come back and spoke to Neil, laptop about doing this, go for it. So then we went and started an R&D team, and we started trying to build the product and finally come up with Ursula.
Oh, I'm so glad you've got that good feedback. And you are right, I remember those days of doing, and it drops on the floor, you get down, back off your steps. And also, as Sparky's out there, we all should realise this, hopefully, but you know, when you're using the traditional method of sleeving, there's different sizes of sleeving, but everybody just tends to go for the one that will go, you know, whether it's too big or too small, or try and cram it on. So actually, you've just took that problem away, because that's just fit for purpose on there completely, isn't it? And I think it's just gonna be so good for those domestic situations and maybe commercial, where you think about a fairly large install, or you're doing, back on my times on the tools when I was doing a lot of work for housing associations, you know, when you're doing rewire after rewire, there is a time thing, isn't there, you know? And the fact that you priced it so it's not going to make that much difference, it doesn't become a consideration, you know? And people should be going into the wholesalers now and just saying, oh, I've heard about this, I want to try it, and actually, you know, I want this type of cable. Whereas before, when we were talking with yourself and Neil, we were saying that sometimes that's the one bit that goes missing, isn't it, in cable in general. I think that, you know, we know what consuming unit we want to use, we know what accessories we want to use, it might even be spec'd, but the cable never is.
Yeah, it's something we talk about a lot on site. It's everyone has a brand preference for different bits, sockets, consumer units, etc. And then more often than not, it's just, I need a reel of cable.
Yeah, give me some 2.5, give me some 1.5.
Exactly,
yeah.
And there's just such a spectrum of products out there. There's no reason why it shouldn't be tret the same as everything else. There is a massive spread of quality and different added value benefits in cable. Mm. And I think it's actually the cable industry's own fault. So going down memory lane, years gone by, a few decades ago, over 80% of the cable that was installed in the UK was made in the UK.
Really?
People sold based on, my cable's better than yours, and mine will last longer, I've got more copper. And the industry just got so recognised as being self-policing and good that people don't feel like they need to specify a brand name. Because
yeah,
they
that
still,
makes sense, yeah.
That's my view. I still think they believe cable's cable because that's what it used to be. But now we've gone completely the other way and there is a massive range of quality in the marketplace and user-friendliness and added benefits.
And what do you think that is, Aaron? Do you think it's mainly imports now? We can get that cheap and cheerful stuff from other parts of Europe that probably driving the market down. And I've seen it myself. Sorry to cut across you. I mean, I remember, you know, as I was coming off the tools, sort of 2011, 2012, I just remember seeing not only cables, but just equipment. Just gradually think, oh, this doesn't feel like it used to kind of thing. And that is a bit of a trip down memory lane. But I think you're right. I think, you know, when I've installed cables, whether it be mineral insulated, armoured, they just, that you knew they were quality. But I think over the last few decades, we've had this sort of, like I say, I don't want to say race to the bottom, but it feels like we've got too much choice and it's not always a good thing, is it?
Yeah, I think race to the bottom is an accurate term. Yeah. If we look at, we said before, 80% used in the UK, it's now completely the opposite. So over 80% is now imported.
Wow.
And the main buying decision behind those products is price. Yeah. So tenders go out from importers, the person with the cheapest price wins the business, and it then causes people to de-engineer the products and not be aiming for the best now, but be aiming for what is the cheapest to make. And it's not about the added value for the end user or the quality of the product.
Mm.
And you have to sort of use both to feel that, but I like to think whenever I benchmark ours, I can feel the difference and I can feel it stripped better.
Yeah.
Before we get on to, we're a UK manufacturer and we've got the backup and technical support and we're there to help if something does go wrong. Before you get onto that, the products are just completely different in feel, appearance, how they look, the quality.
You can just know that because, like I say, when we've just done this factory tour, you see the what goes into the manufacturing and the process of it and everything. I mean, you've had such a wide range of stuff. I was looking at there; it was almost mind blowing. You know, you've got Earthshore on the go, you've got steel wired armoured, you've got fire rated cables, singles, panel board cables, and it's all in this process at the same time. And I think that's really good for a UK manufacturer like yourselves to sing from the rooftops about that because you're not going to compromise, are you? Because that's not what your ethos is it, as an organisation, as a company?
No, we've said 40 years now and it is all built on adding value and quality of product. The quality of product comes before anything else and we want to make things right. We're not interested in the race to the bottom. We're not interested in being the cheapest. Price is important, but there's a level where your price can be too low and you're not adding value and the product quality is not there and we don't want to get involved in that race to the bottom. We want to sell on merit and quality and the value that it adds to the end user. It's just getting that message across, which Earthshore, PV Ultra, EV Ultra have done that fantastically because you can see the value added. But we do it at every stage in all different products.
It's in all your products, yeah. But I was going to come on to that about the, because we spoke last time especially about the PV Ultra, because that was sort of a product launch then, if I remember rightly, and it was only in certain wholesalers. It was literally live when I saw you at Solar and Storage Live.
Yes, yep.
With Sam from Over Renewables. And I think then, what strikes me is that you are always trying to do that. What's next? We're not going to rest on our laurels and say, oh, you have got a great product range, but what can we do better? What you know? And there's not many cable manufacturers that are doing things like that to make a PV installer's life easier or an EV charger's life installer or your domestic Sparky with your Earthshore's life easier. So that is thinking like a Sparky, really, for a manufacturing company.
Yeah, and that's where we like to be. We're a very unique business. We're family owned, we're family run. We want to add value. The tenureship, people on site, probably over 20 years on average that people have been here. So there's a massive amount of knowledge. We've got a huge amount of equipment. And how can we add value back to the industry? That is our real key goal. And we've managed to do that, in my view, for decades now with normal products. But now we're starting to focus on, well, what R&D project can we do to actually make people's lives easier.
I'm excited about what's next. I don't know what you're going to come up with. I want to be part of it. You know,
there's a couple of things running around at the
top
minute.
Top secret.
Last time we spoke, Earthshore was under development, but that was top
secret. Yeah, you didn't let on at all. Sneaky. But last time we spoke as well, going back to the PV Ultra, we had a conversation, or it might have not been on the podcast we did, but I remember us talking about is there going to be a SWA version of the PV Ultra? And what I loved about that is you were throwing that back to designers and installers, because you can produce that and fine, it's not, you know, you've got the processes in place, but actually, is there a need for it? So tell us a little bit more about that, because that is has launched as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's launched very recently. So the real question was, is there a need for the armour? And if we make an armoured one, what are people going to do with the armouring? Because there was different viewpoints on whether to earth it or whether not to earth it. And then as we've gone through, we keep getting asked the same question. So there is definitely a need for the armoured version. They want this additional mechanical protection. So we've launched the armoured range. We've started off with 2-core and 4-core, 6mm squared only, with the viewpoint that the runs are likely going to be longer, so they might need a 6mm more than the 4.
Yeah, that makes sense for maybe ground-mounted array systems, not your traditional domestic arrays, but we get that a lot of our members asking us and installers ask us at the shows we go to, oh, you know, I've got this array that's so far away, you know, and they do need a requirement of a DC cable that is armoured, and we've got it on the market. So I think that's going to be a good seller as well.
Yeah, I think so, and someone's already asked for the 4mm squared, so we can make that. We're just waiting to gauge on interest again, so we'll launch with a 6mm, but and then there's still, I think what we've got to with what to do with the armour is it depends on the installation. So there's some installs where we're speaking to people and they just see it as an extra form of mechanical protection. So we're not really in the best position to say what's best. That's probably where you guys come in and advise people when the question comes in. But the system is double insulated, class 2 double insulated inside the cable. The armouring on the outside then is protected against that. So it is just an additional mechanical layer of protection. Does it need to be earthed at all? A lot of people think it doesn't. Some inverters want to use the armouring as a functional earth for some tests, and they want to earth the array and down the bottom. So it's starting to become just a topic of conversation, and different installs will need different things.
Which is good in a way, because that's what we want. We want the industry to start talking about these things and the whys and wherefores, and not just people say, oh, we don't need it. Because obviously, I think I was an early adopter of, an SWA version would make sense, even though I'm not installing the stuff anymore. Yeah, so, just lastly then, the EV Ultra's obviously been around for a while now, but every sort of YouTube video I watch or install I see, you know, that's just massive at the moment, isn't it? It's a no-brainer again, isn't it, to fit that cable? I presume that's just flying off the shelves as usual.
Yeah, the range is expanding. We've now got 19 versions of that.
Wow.
So single phase, three phase, 4 to 16 mil. We've now got one, I don't know if we covered this in the last podcast or not, but we've got one with 2 4-pair data cables in. So there's some installs where they want a hardwired Ethernet and then they want 4 separate pairs for CTs. So it just continues to grow and people keep bringing us, it'd be good if you could do this for us, and then we go and do the R&D, we'll make it, and then come back. Yeah. It's grown really well, and the take-up's been really good.
And I mean, just saying that then about the range extending to 19, you imagine the scope then of, like, as we try and get to electrification across the UK, that you're part of that now in a big way, because, you know, your service stations, your supermarkets, we're not talking about a standard domestic, you know, charger anymore, are we? We're talking about these big DC rapid chargers that, you know, your cable fits the bill.
Yeah, and it's even going into other areas of the industry. So it's not just EV. People are finding uses for it in other sectors.
Interesting. Yeah.
So gate entry is a fantastic example.
Of course,
where
you've
got a motor for the gate in a telecom system. Or CCTV columns, caravan parks, home office. Home offices at bottom people's gardens where they want a hardwired Ethernet connection in the bottom of the garden. Yeah. So we're just expanding into all different areas, and people are finding a use for it just because we've overcome that first bit of band one, band two segregation, really. And that's what we overcome, and now people are finding ways to use it, not just EV.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, thanks for that, Aaron. It's been another good catch-up today. I've really enjoyed today. It's a lot to take in, but I just love seeing these new products, and hopefully we're just making our members and other people out there more aware of your products and your cables. So, you know, can't recommend this earth sure enough. You know, if I was out in still installing, this would be the one I'd definitely be going for. So thanks for listening and watching to another What's Current podcast. Thanks to Aaron. Thanks to Doncaster Cables. And if you do get a chance to come and have a tour here, oh, please come and have a tour. Mind blown. It's been a great day. So thanks, Aaron.
No problem. Thank you very much.